My name is Isabella Buckley. I'm 16 years old. Today is November 25th, 2018. I'm recording this interview in San Diego, California. I'm speaking with Russ Buckley, who's my dad.
Good morning. My name is Russ Buckley.
So we're gonna start with the first question. When were you in the military and which branch did you serve in?
So I served in the United States Navy. I joined in 1981. And I retired in 2001.
What motivated you to join the military?
I was motivated by two things. First was by a belief in service to others, something bigger than myself. Second was because it was incredibly cold in New Jersey, and I had slipped and fallen on the ice. I was out of work. I was not going to school, and I thought, I need to change my life. I want to go to Florida. And I was right outside of the recruiting office. So I went in, I joined the Navy, and I went to Florida.
So you lived in New Jersey at first. So where were you first stationed afterwards? Was it Florida?
Yes. I was stationed in Orlando, Florida. I went to school in Orlando, Florida after boot camp. And then I went to Pensacola, Florida to learn my trade in the military, which was electronic warfare.
How did you end up choosing electronic warfare?
I chose electronic warfare. When you first join the military, they give you a big book and they say, what do you want to be? And based on your test scores and your aptitude scores, they determine whether or not you can do that job. I originally looked at being a nuclear power electronics technician, which means I would have worked on electronics that ran the nuclear power plant. At the last minute, I chose not to do that because I'd heard a lot about some of the challenges in the nuclear power program. I then read in a book, there was a description for electronic warfare, and it said, and I quote, because I remember it to this day, electronic warfare technicians work in a clean, cool, comfortable environment with little or no supervision on jobs that require more mental than physical ability. And I thought, air conditioned, comfortable, no manual labor, lots of thinking, sounds like that's for me. I looked at the symbol that you wear on your sleeve for electronic warfare, and it was very cool. It was an electron with a lightning bolt through the middle. And the school was in Florida, so it met all of my criteria, and that's why I chose electronic warfare.
So going back to boot camp, can you tell me a little bit more about that and what you were prepared for or unprepared for when going through that experience?
So I had a very unique experience there. Prior to joining the military, you know how some children are Girl Scouts and some children are Boy Scouts. Well, there was a military base not very far from where I grew up. So I joined what was known as the Sea Scouts, which was the Navy's version of the Boy Scouts. Part of that process, when I was 16 years old, is they flew me for 2 weeks down to Orlando to go to the exact same boot camp that the real Navy people go to. So I already kind of had an idea of what the marching would be like and the physical work would be like and the waking up early would be like and all of those things. So I had a very unique situation when I first went to boot camp because I kind of knew sort of what would go on. I think the thing that I was least prepared for the real Navy boot camp was the diversity of the people that I would be in boot camp with. Having been fairly insulated growing up in New Jersey with certain ethnic groups and certain education levels and certain city sizes, I was a little surprised to find people who, quite honestly, I had one young man who pulled me aside and said his entire hometown came out to see him off when he went to boot camp. And I said, your entire hometown? Because I'm thinking my hometown of 85,000 people. His hometown was 15 people. So I was not ready for that sort of a difference between I joked with him at the time. I told him I had been in men's rooms and had more people than his hometown. I wasn't ready for that when I went to boot camp.
So after boot camp passed, you eventually did serve in a war zone, didn't you? And where and when was this?
So yes, I supported several war zones. So my initial time when I went to sea was literally in an operation in a place called Grenada, which is in the Caribbean, where the military went in and rescued some students that were being held in a small school on this very small island in the Caribbean. It wasn't really a war zone, but it was an military operational zone. Later, I was off the coast of Beirut when the Marine Corps barracks were bombed by terrorists in Beirut, Lebanon. And I was right off the coast there and was supporting a group that went in and had to dig through the rubble and find the deceased Marines and that sort of work. My war zone experience was in Operation Desert Storm, which was when Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and we sent in a full military force to repel that invasion and to move Iraq back into the Iraqi borders. And that was where I had my most intimate experience with the war zone. I was actually boots on the ground, supporting some of the troops in some after action work, helping to gather intelligence. I also supported the overflight of some of that country with some electronic warfare work that went on to help provide cover for the troops on the ground. And that went through Operation Desert Storm. Operation Desert Shield, which was a continuation of that, was also a war zone. I supported that for a short while, and then I retired just prior to the current military activities that are still ongoing today.
So in remembering the date you retired, that was before or after 9/11?
It was before 9/11. I retired in January of 2001. 9/11 was obviously September 11th, 2001.
So after 9/11, did you ever consider going back or anything?
Absolutely. Initially, I wanted to go back. Even though I had served my 20 years and was moving on to a new life, there was a piece of me that understood that there was going to be a need and that I had that skill set already built, and that I could go back in and contribute immediately. On the other hand, I also had a family at that point, and I had decided that the reason I retired was to focus on my family. And so I knew that that would be a challenge with me going back and leaving my family in a situation that, quite frankly, all military families face. But that I had chose not to face at that point because I had seen the destructive pieces of that. So I was torn in two directions of whether to go back and serve or whether to stay with my family.
So what lessons did your service teach you that you still carry with you even now that you have a family and don't participate in that sort of lifestyle anymore at all?
So I think the big things would be that always think of the much bigger picture. Always try to serve a bigger thing than yourself. It's very easy to look inward and think about the very self-centered components, but there are always a bigger picture that you should be concerned about. I think that was one of the main things that I learned, is to serve and to serve something larger than yourself. I think there's a certain amount of self-discipline after 20 years of understanding that you have to do what you need to do before you do what you want to do. So I think I took that away from my military service as well. And I also believe that from the bigger military perspective taught me that there is we are incredibly blessed and fortunate in this country And then obviously in certain neighborhoods and families and socioeconomic circles, all the way down to the individual, that we are blessed beyond measure. Even people that aren't considered in a high socioeconomic status or seem to be struggling a bit, if they were to go and can be compared to someone in certain foreign countries, they would be considered wealthy. So I understand the great blessings of what the U.S. brings and my birth here in America brings in comparison to what other citizens in other countries face every single day. And I would have never learned that without my military service and my ability to travel the world and see these people.
Any of those lessons, things that you want to pass down, either to me or to future generations who might be listening to this recording?
I would say each and every one of them. Absolutely. Always serve something bigger than yourself. Don't look at yourself. Look at the bigger thing. And even if that is as simple as a team sport, which going back to your first question about prompting me to join the military, I think I learned some of the things that helped me in boot camp by playing team sports as a youth. I learned that it wasn't about my batting average or how many tackles I made or how fast I ran. It was about whether the team won the game. It didn't matter what a great game I had if the team lost. And I think you start to learn that very young, so that's why I encourage team sports for youth. I also talk to people about their school and to think about the fact that they're supporting something much bigger. It's not just this test, but it's my future that I'm focused on. So I would think that that would be the first thing would be I'd like everybody to think about a much bigger picture than themselves. I think learning the discipline component of doing what you need to do and then what you want to do is something that I would like to make sure I pass down to others, and I believe I've passed down to you. I believe a work ethic, people understanding that you have to do things in order to make things happen. You can't just sit and wait. You have to have a good work ethic. I'd like to see that move along. And to be cognizant and kind of other people and to understand what we truly am blessed with here in the United States and our role in making sure that other people are not oppressed as well.
So moving on to our last question, actually, can you describe your transition from military to civilian life? Was it easy or difficult and why? Especially because at that point you had a 4-year-old daughter and a wife, which was different from how you started or carried out most of your military career.
So my transition was, I believe, fairly easy because I also believe that the things that I learned in the military apply no matter where you are. So moving into a civilian job, I still had an understanding of the bigger picture. I also had an understanding of how that, how to focus on the benefits of what I had, vice, what I wanted. Initially the lifestyle of a civilian job compared to a military job was a little difficult. And I think a lot of veterans struggle with that. There is a study that shows that I believe 87% of military veterans quit their first job within their first 6 months. Because what happens is you leave the military, you take a job to support my wife and my 4-year-old daughter in this new lifestyle, because we don't fully understand what that's going to be. And you take whatever job you can to give you whatever check you can to make sure that you can support your family. And then initially over time, you realize that it's not really a very good fit for you. And while I thought I would overcome that, I became one of those statistics, and I left my first job within the first 6 months, and I moved on to a second job, which I truly loved for many, many years. But I found one that fit my value stack, fit my understandings and beliefs and fit my ability to support it. So while the transition wasn't hard, it may have been harder than I had originally thought.
Thank you for this interview.
You're very welcome.